And a lot of, when someone mentions the word rapture, a lot of emotions are stirred up. A lot of times fear, a lot of times great debate, as there has been about the rapture over years and years by theologians. There are people who have never heard of the rapture and frankly don't care. There are people who have heard about the rapture and don't care. There are people who have heard about it and want to know more. And you get all kinds of teachings, all kinds of discussions, and sometimes a lot of fear when we start talking about the rapture. We've been studying about the love of God and how God's love affects His children throughout their journey called life, even to death. We were talking about how through life God's love is revealed to us, and how God's love makes a difference for us in receiving Jesus as Savior. And when His children die, they receive the ultimate blessing, resurrection from the dead, eternal life, and blessings with God forever. For those who have died, this is a great comfort, the resurrection of the dead. But the Bible tells us Jesus is coming back in judgment. And many throughout the history of the church wondered that if Jesus came back before they died, would they share in the heavenly glory that was promised to those who had died? This was a concern to believers back in Jesus' day. You know, there was the teaching about the resurrection of the dead. So what about those who were still alive? What would happen? Would they share in that blessing if Jesus came back? And there was a mindset of those early Christians that Jesus' return was going to happen very soon in their day. So what was going to happen to those Christians who were still alive? The teaching about the rapture had a profound effect on me growing up as a young boy. I remember the days when I was young listening to Billy Graham on television talk about the return of Jesus Christ and how the believers would be raptured up to be with the Lord in the air, and about how it could come at any time, and that we did not know the day nor the hour, but that we needed to be prepared. In some way I knew this was very important. I had a feeling inside me that I needed to pay attention, that I had to live my life differently and live it for God's glory, because Christ might come back each day of our lives. I learned it in summer camp at Central Oak Heights as the counselors talked about the rapture coming. And I knew that this was a very important thing to understand as living Christians in the world, and to understand how God's love raptures us. The subject of the rapture is one that's been debated widely throughout the centuries. Some believe that Jesus' return is going to be before the tribulation period. Some believe it's going to happen after the tribulation period. Some believe that there will be a long period of peace, and then Jesus will come back to usher in His kingdom of peace on the earth. So there's been a lot of debate about it over the years. It's something we could talk about till the cows come home. Webster defines the word rapture as the state of being carried away with joy and love. The state of being carried away with joy and love. The Bible does not use the word rapture, but the Bible teaches about Christ's return and what will happen as a result of that to all human beings who are living at that time. In various passages in the Bible, it tells us that it's going to be a dreadful day of the Lord. And it will be for many, because many will be unconcerned and unprepared. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. And there's been a lot of studying about the end times and a lot of teaching on the return of Christ. There's a lot of confusion about it. A lot of people get their theology about the rapture from the Left Behind series and other things that our society has. But when we understand the fundamental facts that the Bible and Jesus Himself teaches about the rapture, we can find hope in certain things that we do know. And these are the things that are important. Jesus first gave us a hint about his return, about the rapture. In Matthew chapter 24 and 25, if you know anything about this, Jesus was with his disciples and he said to them, "Do you see all these things?" As they sat outside of Jerusalem looking into the city and the temple and all the great buildings, he says, "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." And as they sat on the Mount of Olives looking over the city, the disciples says, "Tell us when this will happen." Jesus begins a teaching here in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 regarding the signs of the end of the age. He begins to teach them that there's going to be signs that this is coming. And he says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, because there's going to be other people come claiming to be messiahs to teach you otherwise. But first of all, watch out. Be careful. Don't be deceived." He talks about the signs of his coming, that there's going to be a time of great distress. And at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he'll send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they'll gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. God, his elect are his followers, believers. He'll gather them up, the sound of the trumpet call. Jesus gives an illustration using the fig tree. He says, as soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves comes out, you know that summer's near. There will be signs. When you see all these things, you know that it's near, that it's right at the door. He talks about the times, the way the times will be in society when he returns. He says it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. No one will know the day or the hour, not even the angels nor Jesus himself, but only God. It will be as in the days of Noah. In those days, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage right up until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen. You see, they were unconcerned. They knew that something was going to happen. Noah was compelled to build the ark. But yet, they laughed at him and they didn't heed the warning. And it was a dreadful day. But Jesus says in the same way will it be when he comes back again, that people will be unconcerned. They won't be paying any attention to the prophets that are saying the time is coming, be prepared. If that doesn't describe our day today, I don't know what does. As time goes on, people are less and less concerned and saying it's not relevant to us. Jesus says it will be very quick to happen. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other will be left. Therefore, keep watch, because you don't know what day your Lord will come. He uses the parables of the wise servant, talking about being wise in preparation. He uses the parable about the 10 virgins, speaking and telling his followers that they need to be prepared for his coming, using their talents wisely. So Jesus himself taught about his second coming. Tells us it's very important. And the New Testament also throughout teaches us, especially Paul and his journeys. Paul wrote to the believers in Thessalonica, "We don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep," that's the dead, "or those who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive at the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Lord will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Now, this is important. Jesus talks about the instantaneous event of the coming. At the last trumpet sound, people are saying, well, I'm going to wait till the trumpet sounds, and then I'm going to give my life to Christ. Too late. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible teaches us. There will not be time to make that decision. The decision has to be made before the coming of Christ for the living. And he says, use this to encourage each other. Not to scare each other, but to encourage each other. Saying that God promised us. The Lord's coming again. Maybe it'll be today. So let's live our lives accordingly. He says about the times and dates, we don't need to write to you. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they'll not escape. I just absolutely shudder, and you can call me insane all you want, when I hear somebody say it's all good. Because frankly, folks, it is not all good. Our world is full of a lot of bad, a lot of evil, you see. But our encouragement to others is to say that our hope is in the Lord. That the Lord helps us overcome the evil in this life and in the life to come. That our hope is that as much as there's evil in this life, there's ultimate eternal good in Jesus Christ. He says, but you brothers, you're not in darkness. This should not surprise you like a thief. You're sons of the light and sons of the day. We don't belong to the darkness. So let's not be like others. Let's be self-controlled. Let's be putting on faith and love as a breastplate and hope of salvation. Hope of salvation. Faith, love, hope. And he says he died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Again, therefore, encourage one another with these words. The thoughts of the rapture should not scare us. It should encourage us. And it's something that we should be teaching. It had a profound effect on me as a 10-year-old boy. Should we not be telling our children? Jesus might be coming back today. We should be living our lives accordingly. What a great place to be if he came back right now. So, John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, what we will be has not yet been revealed to us, but we know when we see him, we will be like him. Transformed in the twinkling of an eye, rising up in the air to meet Jesus and those who have gone before us in Christ. So, we learn several things here in these scriptures. And again, we could be here till the cows come home talking about this, but we learn some things that we can grasp and that we can know. First of all, we can know that believers will be taken up to be with those who have died in Christ when Christ comes again. We learn that no one knows when this will happen. We might as well quit listening to these TV evangelists who are telling us they've come up with a date, if you take this times this, and this in the Old Testament, and this in the New Testament, and what this means, and how many days according to years, and all this kind of stuff, we've come up with this. Turn the television set off and pray for that person. We don't know. There's no sense in worrying about it. There's no sense in wasting our time trying to figure it out. We might as well be spending that time figuring out how we can reach others that have not heard yet. It would be a better use of our time. Thirdly, we know that although there will be signs, there will be a lot of people that will ignore them, like in the days of Noah. Not everybody's going to heaven. The Bible tells us that. Okay? Fourthly, we learn that Christians should live self-controlled lives, prepared so as not to be ashamed. That we're not ashamed of what we're watching when Jesus comes back. That we're not ashamed of where we are when he comes back. We're not ashamed of the company we're keeping. We're not ashamed of what we're involved in. Living self-controlled lives. That does not mean perfect. Because again, the Bible tells us nowhere that God expects perfection out of us. He expects holiness out of us. He says, be holy as I am holy. And holiness means set yourself apart for the Lord, which in turn means living differently than the culture for the glory of God. And lastly, we know that Christians should encourage others and build them up, other Christians alike and non-Christians, because it's very, very important that we are prepared in our hearts. Again, I ask people, if Jesus came back today, do you know what would happen to you? Well, I hope I would go. Well, I think I would go. Well, we really can't be sure, are some of the remarks we get when we ask that question. The Christian knows, or should know, because the Bible tells us so, that if Christ comes back right now, we're going up. There's no doubt whatsoever what's going to happen to us if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. You see, we have His Word. And what the Bible tells us in verse 10 is that whether we are alive and in Christ, or whether we have died and in Christ, we will be with the Lord forever. As God's love resurrects the dead in Christ, His love raptures the living in Christ. Now my hope is that Christ will return today. A lot of you have heard me say that Jesus can't return soon enough. Maybe He'll return in the next few minutes. Think about it, folks. Think about that for a second. That if Christ should return in the next few minutes, does that scare you? It shouldn't. It shouldn't scare you. People say, well, I've got a lot I've got to do yet. I want to watch my grandchildren grow up. I want to grow up together with my wife. I don't know if I'm really ready yet. We should be excited. We should be joyful. We should be hopeful. Because I don't know about you folks, but frankly, I'm sick of this life of pain, suffering, of disease, of cancer, of hunger, of lust, of abuse, everything. We're going on to something better. Why wait till we die? Why not be taken right now? That would be the ultimate thing to the Christian. Because after all, isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want? Oh, but we want it in our time, don't we? It doesn't work like that. Our joy is that when He comes again, and if He comes right now to take us, the timing is perfect. If you're scared because you're not sure that somebody you love does not know, now is the time to encourage them and tell them so that they're going to be going up with you to meet the Lord in the air. Let us remember, our finish line is not here on earth. This is not what it's all about. Our prize awaits us in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, and we may all be together in that celestial city, our eternal joy and the hope of the living children of God today. But if Jesus comes right now, you know, I know, and we are all sure, He is coming. He's coming to take His children back with Him because He loves us. We don't know when that's going to be. And we should encourage others because it might be today. I hope that you think about that this week. Because when we really understand the immensity of that doctrine of the rapture, the teaching about the rapture. How important it was to Christians then, how important it is to Christians today. It transforms your life and the way you live and the way you see things. And your thanksgiving is to God. Let's pray.
Thank you, God, for your word.